We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Welcome into this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, made possible by Hum Kombucha, fizzy delicious and made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients. Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon, for all of Beaver Nation. One of our favorite sons in the history of Oregon State Athletics, back at his alma mater to be the new director of Beyond Football, but a guy that is known and respected and loved, I know, by Beaver Nation in Bend and elsewhere, and that is Alexis Cerna, our special guest this week. Alexis, I don't know what it's been like a few weeks back on the job as the new director of Beyond Football, but congratulations. Tell us a little bit about how this opportunity took shape and just what it's been like so far.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to be back. It started kind of back 6 years ago when Scott Spiegelberg was originally in the position. I saw it posted and I thought it was a pretty neat position. I came in and talked with Marianne and got an idea, but knew that I wasn't prepared and ready for it at that time. So I had my career with Sherwin Williams, and then come back around in December when they posted the position, I came in and I talked with DVD, Coach Smith, and Coach Riley, and kind of pushed my name out there for it. And then they pulled it back down because they weren't sure what direction they wanted to go with the program, and then they reposted it again in August. Then I applied, but it was a dream job of mine. It's something I've always enjoyed, helping people, and it gave me that opportunity to do it full-time.
Ultimately, is that position chosen by the coaching staff or someone else in administration?
Yes.
A combination.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is a combination of both. Yeah.
Sure.
Alexis, and what, but each, you know, it's kind of a new world. You didn't have this when you were playing here. There wasn't a director per se. You had people trying to help you, but you know, for your good friend Carl Toby is here with you today as we conduct the interview, and for players of your era, you redshirted in 03, played then and kicked record-setting numbers at Oregon State 04 through 07. Was there anything quite like this when you were playing?
Really, there's nothing like this across the nation right now. Oregon State's being very innovative about this. We understood a need that there was a gap of that transition, and a lot of players are going and they're struggling with that transition. I struggled with it. A lot of my teammates struggled with it. So we figured this is something that we needed to fulfill and make sure that we're taking care of our athletes.
For the listener and myself, I just want to clear it up as to exactly what it is, because do you help work with the athlete on transition, or is it something where you're helping with the athlete to get a job? And there's a difference. Transition meaning, hey, start thinking about it. What do you want to do? Get some internships, or get a job is, hey, I got a line on a job over here. Can you clarify that?
Yeah, so ultimately the end game with the vision is that we're going to start with starting at the freshman year, really figuring out what their career interests are, and we can get them in the correct degrees that are going to help them beyond football. And then at that point, we're going to line them up with networking events, mentors, really get them connected with the university. I've been meeting with a lot of the colleges. Just met with the College of Engineering today. Just different ways that we can help get our athletes connected. And then once they get to that point of senior year, they're starting to apply for positions. If they know that they're not going to continue on, or if they're going to continue on, at least they know that path.
Yeah.
And they have those networks and connections they can reach out to, so they can help. It'll be a lot easier to find a job rather than starting from ground zero.
Okay, now that you clarify, not to put any pressure on you, but your job is probably one of the most important jobs in the entire school, to be honest with you, as a parent. And I love it. I have much more respect. Well, I had a ton of respect anyway, but just in the importance of what you're doing, because how many athletes do we see come through where they aren't thinking anything about being a pro in their sport, and they're not going to be. And you just, as a parent, I see him sometimes and I want to just shake him and say, no, go to school, find another interest and have this be bonus. And you're in a huge responsibility.
Yeah, so that was my life, is that I looked at it, and a lot of us look at it, is that I'm going to come to Oregon State, I'm going to get my degree, and I'll fall back on my degree if I don't make it to the NFL.
Sure.
And then I'll fall back on my degree whether if I pay 10, 15 years in the NFL. And that's the way we all think. And really, I was actually a history degree major, and I ended up in business and sales, retail, and I loved it. But I never had anybody early on to really give me an assessment to figure out what my interests are. Mm-hmm. And I would have loved to do business looking back at it, because I really enjoyed sales. And so that's what we're going to try to do, is try to find that interest early on and really help them along that way.
It is indeed, as John says, a vitally important position. And Alexis, I'm wondering, you said if this is innovative and somewhat unique to Oregon State in the program, it's a copycat world we live in. So I assume other schools will have some variation or some version of a similar program. But in the meantime, are you sensing that in recruiting, just as a recruiting tool, that this is an important one for parents of prospective recruits to hear?
No, it definitely is. I know parents are more concerned about it than the actual players are. And I've already been doing some of the recruiting stuff in the weekends. But really, it's just a matter of being genuine and really trying to help the individual. And that's what we really want them to, the athletes, when they're coming in for recruits, that they understand that that's what we're here for at OSU. Jonathan Smith is really big on that, is that we're here to help the actual athlete. And we're very genuine about it. His entire staff, they really care about the players, and I'm glad to be a part of that.
Well, we're talking with Alexis Cerna here on this week's Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Visit Corvallis. Experience Beaver Game Day fun live in Corvallis and extend your stay to take in all the Willamette Valley has to offer. Visit Corvallis. Come for the game and stay to play. Visit Corvallis. Do these youngsters know of your greatness?
With my presentation, I try to keep it low-key. Which ones? The ones that are currently here or the recruits? It depends. If they grew up in Oregon, and now we're actually, because my wife's a teacher in high school, and some of her students know and some of them don't, so I'm getting to that tail end of age where they can actually remember it.
Your first meeting should be in your office with the Biletnikoff Award right there.
The Groza.
I'm sorry, yeah. The Groza.
I can bring Mike along. That would be awesome.
Exactly.
But,
No, the Groza.
Yeah. So funny story about that is that there's actually 4 Groza Awards out there. Just like, so what happened was that the year before, when Mike Nugent won it at Ohio State, they sent out the award. It broke. And they had to resend out some more. Well, they did this specific package that kind of just expands around the trophy. Well, they did it, and then they opened it up to make sure it worked, and then resent it out. Well, they jumbled it around during that time. And so both the one that got sent to my house and the university broke.
Oh.
And so we just took pictures of them, and they sent us brand new ones. Well, my kicking coach back at home took the broken one, went to a trophy store, got it fixed.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I guess Lightning, Steve McCoy over here, equipment staff, they fixed the other one, so it's sitting in his office. And they have the other one that's out in front of the valley. So I'm going to eventually take the one up from Lightning's, even though I'm sure they use it as a coat hanger.
That's a great story.
Alexis Cern, our guest on this week's Beaver Sports Podcast. So we've touched on where you are now, but let's go back just a little bit to coming out of A.B. Miller in Fontana, California, and it's become your life now, Oregon State. It's where you're working now, great memories here, met your wife here, all of these things, Alexis. When you came up out of A.B. Miller, tell us a little bit of how you ended up a Beaver. What is that story?
So I always knew I wanted to play Division I football, and so I was working with a couple people down in California, and Bobby Pleasant, who was down there, who's actually currently on staff here on the football, was helping me along the way, and he actually sent my tape to Dennis Erickson and their staff, and at that time they said, no, we're not looking for another kicker. Well, that staff ends up leaving, and then in June, Bobby would come up here and help. My kicking coach was up here helping as well. And the special teams coach at the time, LaCharles McDaniel, said, hey, we're looking for a walk-on kicker. And they said, we have somebody. They threw my tape on. LaCharles called me that day, Coach McDaniels, and offered me to walk on. I didn't even think or blink and said, yes, I'm coming. And applied, and I was here the week after the first game. I think it was New Mexico State they've played first, or one of the teams. And so I showed up not knowing anybody, not knowing who Coach Riley was, not knowing who Steven Jackson, Derek Anderson, all these players, didn't have any clue about them. But it was just the risk that actually ended up being a really big reward.
That's amazing. Is it okay to talk about LSU? Is it too soon? Too soon?
I don't know what game you're talking about. Yeah. No, I'm open about it. I understand that was a big part of my career. I look at it, I probably got a little bit of sympathy votes when it came to the Groza, just how quickly I turned around my career. But yeah, no, I'm totally open about it because it is part of my life.
Well, again, we're talking with Alexis Cerna here on this week's edition of the podcast. Well, the reason why I bring it up is because there's so many angles to that story that you can take with you, as you know, the rest of your life, from the lowest point to the highest point in something you're doing. Those could be church stories. Those could be stories for the guys that you're working with. Is there any one person from that game that you or event that you can remember that stuck out? Because when you're down, you might feel like everyone's mad at you. Anybody say anything to you that you remembered at that point? And how down were you?
I was really, really down for about a day. There was a couple of situations that happened. After in the locker room, Coach Riley actually told me there's not going to be anything that I'm going to tell you that's going to make you feel better.
Yeah.
You just got to try to get up and keep going on. And that always stuck with me. The following day, my sister was actually in town, and during the game, she actually left me a voicemail, and I missed, I think, my first or second PAT. She's like, hey, it's supposed to go through the uprights.
Thanks, Jess.
Thanks, sis.
She apologized greatly after that, but she was in town, and so we actually went with her and her husband at the time, had the family out here, and so we went and hung out with them, and they had no clue what happened. And so that put a lot of things in perspective, mm-hmm. of like, hey, this, I'm putting too much weight on this. And that kind of helped me feel a fire to kind of get going. And then the week before the New Mexico State game, I was talking with my kicking coach, Hugo Castellanos, and he was telling me that it's just a game. Some people are fighting out there fighting for their life. And the very next day, I got a letter from Austin Pierce, comes in the mail, and it was coincidence or whatever you want to call it, but it was pretty eerie. But then after that point, Austin and I really got to know each other, but that was very motivational as well. Just helped put life into perspective.
Austin being a little kid who had cancer, and that's absolutely it could be say a godsend for perspective.
Yeah. So I never realized how much it meant to him and his family until like started seeing articles and videos and different things like that, because I leaned on him during a tough time, and that I was an outlet of not the hospitals and everything that was going on with him. And so it was a good relationship. He was an awesome, awesome little kid. And the neat thing was when I started playing in Winnipeg, I would drive through Spokane and I would stop off and see him and his family.
Oh, nice.
And on one of the ways back, I stopped off and he had a wheelchair basketball practice. So I was like, oh, let me go check him out. And him and I were talking a little bit about like how he wanted to play college with wheelchair basketball. And you can immediately see that he was a lot more talented than the other kids. He was a lot faster. And I was like, oh, man, he can actually probably play. And so when he would start emailing me letters that he was sending to the coaches and stuff, and we started helping him a little bit with recruiting. And then he ended up at University of Texas Arlington and playing basketball down there, which I think he's still part of the – they're called the Rolling Mavs, the Dallas wheelchair basketball team, and he worked with the marketing firm down there.
Great story.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, and you've answered it in a sense, but that Austin Pierce story, because of the genuine and tender and poignant nature of it, did draw a lot of national attention, and rightly so. It isn't why Austin wrote to you to get attention. It isn't why you engaged with him to get attention. It became a very genuine, lifelong friendship. So he is doing well by all accounts.
Yes, he's doing really well. Still playing wheelchair basketball, and he's working. He's got his career in marketing, and so it's. I know his mom probably wishes he would be back in Spokane, but he's down there in Texas enjoying life.
And after that, just to remind everyone, the Lou Groza Award winner, Alexis Serna, the following year, and never missed another extra point after that night. 144 straight and finished as his career as the second leading scorer in the history of the Pac-10-12 conference at the time. So it's just a remarkable story, Alexis, of a turnaround. As we close, and we really appreciate your time, from your perspective, you know, we talked to you on a local show earlier after Jordan Shuker had his tough miss down in Reno. You've been there. You've lived it. So I don't know if you've had a chance to see him or interact with him at all. But what's the biggest thing, if you did or had that opportunity, to somehow see Jordan? I was glad to see him bang the last one through that he was given an attempt and made it. That's important down in Tempe. What would you say to him?
You know, I would just tell him just to lean on his support system that he has. That's the biggest thing. And I have seen him. We've talked, and we've actually started talking a little bit more about careers. Knowing that I have that kicking background, I know he's always going to have me there as a support system. But I also don't want to harp on that because it's a lot of pressure, and it's a lot different than day and age from when I played. When I was on Facebook, you had to have a college email to get on there. Now, like, Facebook's everywhere, yeah, social media, yeah. It's a lot easier to access, and people naturally tend to care about what other people think a little bit too much, so I just don't even want to touch on that sometimes with him and just kind of let him go through. But yeah, he made a field goal this last weekend as well. He's a good kicker. I've actually had an opportunity to watch a little bit of film, and he makes a lot of kicks in practice. And so I am not too worried about him.
Did you just fall in love with the area coming from California? You play your football here, but you've been here ever since, haven't you? Outside of your stint with pro football.
Yeah, so we actually came back, me and my wife came back in 2010, and she got her second degree education degree so she could teach, and I wanted to live here. I was forced out, not by choice. Ended up with Sherwin-Williams, which was very grateful and blessed to be able to work with them, and I figured they were a large enough company I'd be able to make my way down to Corvallis. I made it down to Salem, but fortunately this popped up, and so it's been a dream of mine to make a Corvallis, and so now I'm here.
That's great.
You know, and as we close, I wanted to get your thoughts about your recent presentation in front of a large group of former Beaver football players. You were introduced here the other day when Jonathan hosted over 130 former Beavers, because there are connections there too, just as what I'm about to share, Alexis, as our sponsors to make these podcasts possible, great ones, the Heat Pump Store, your local ductless heating and cooling experts. We thank the Heat Pump Store, so you may be able to funnel players there, because the Heat Pump Store obviously has a love for Oregon State to be involved with our podcasts every week. Join the ductless revolution from the Heat Pump Store. But also, Oregon State University graduates are already qualified for scholarships toward earning their OSU MBA. And they can do that in Portland, Bend, Corvallis, or online with a lot of customized options. Check it out at mba.oregonstate.com. mba.oregonstate.edu/beaver. But these are important connections. You know, you find people and those that have sponsorships or those that are vitally involved with the university, such as our sponsors that we've talked about here. These are people you interact with, right?
Yes, definitely want to reach out to them because we want to give them as many options as possible. You're not going to be able to fit a square peg into a round hole. We really want to make sure that they're getting the right fit for them and something that they can love. I got lucky. I just landed in Sherwin-Williams and absolutely loved it. It could have been the totally opposite. So we want to make sure that we give them as many options, reaching out to many people. Like, that's why Carl's here with me today, Carl Toby, is because I wanted to reach out to him and see what opportunities that his company will have to offer, and just utilizing all our resources, because Beaver Nation's awesome. That's one of the great things about this university, that everybody I've met here, they just want to help other people. Somebody wants to go to radio, I'm going to reach out to you too.
Sure,
so
sure.
It's all about using the network that we have and reaching out. And that was the great thing about the weekend, with having all the former players coming back. A lot of them were chomping out a bit to really help out and really mentor these athletes, and that's what we're really looking forward to.
And so you did get a little time and a little presentation, introduced yourself, and a lot of guys I'm sure knew you, former teammates and so on. But you were speaking to a wide spectrum, weren't you, Alexis, of a lot of different eras of former Beavers?
Yeah, from I think it was the earliest was the 50s or 60s, mm-hmm. all the way up to 2013, 14, I think the most recent graduate was. So, yeah, it was a wide variety of athletes. And I spoke to one that just recently graduated, like last year, so I guess it's even earlier than that. And he was like telling me, hey, if you have any engineers that are interested, I would love to work with them. So that was the same thing with coming from our older alums to our newer ones, that they really just want to help out.
So you got to grow that Rolodex. What, or do kids his age know what a Rolodex is?
Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I do, yeah.
Okay, your contact list from the business world. You got to grow that so these kids have places.
Yeah, definitely. So just creating that network. Kimia Matthew and the student athlete development team, they have some things in line that we're going to start utilizing here to really keep everybody connected and find mentors and being able to track it a lot easier, because another big thing is just following up and making sure we're following through with all of it.
Alexis, it is so great to have you back. Thanks for all the great kicks. Thanks for 18 for 18 against Washington, including 6 for 6 in the rain in your Groza Award year in 05 to beat those Jokers 18 to 10. I don't know. How could you make 6 field goals in those conditions?
You know, it actually works out. I always tell people that I like the ball when it was wet and heavier, because it fights through the wind a little bit better. So you don't have to worry about the wind as much with the ball moving around. When it's drier and it's windy, that makes it a lot harder. But you just kind of got to focus and get out there and just put the kicks through.
It was so fun to watch 55-yarder, 58-yarder for Alexis.
One of my all-time favorite players. I have a quick question for you real quickly. If LSU is notable, the most notable, what about you for your most satisfying or favorite game?
Oh, you know what? There's too many.
Well, with all the kicks,
yeah.
I mentioned 1-6 for 6. I'm not going to prime the pump here per se, but the kicks you made down in Eugene in the 07 one were pretty big.
The 07, the 06 Civil War was very big. Washington State, when we had Austin Pierce come out to that game. Boise State field goal. I just enjoyed the Hawaii win. That was pretty awesome. The Missouri game. I was a part of some pretty great games and being able to make some kicks to kind of help the team win. And there's not one that I'm able to put a stamp on, like, because we even beat USC when they were number 3, Berkeley when they were number 2, and I had a 51-yarder. There was a lot of them.
If you can do what you did and win that award, how do you not stick? What is it about the NFL that makes it so difficult?
I'm not sure, but I remember talking with Coach Reed. He was with the Dallas Cowboys at the time, and he said, don't try to figure it out. You're going to drive yourself nuts. I'm a person that I take people's advice, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. It is what it is. I had an opportunity to play in the CFL, and that was a pretty amazing experience. And so I don't worry about it too much. There's so many different things that I'd heard of, like, okay, my percentage dropped off, my height. There was a lot of different things that people had brought up, but there's not really one thing I could say I could pinpoint.
Huh. Alexis, thanks for doing this, and congratulations on all that's happened, and welcome back where you belong, back here on campus. keep up the great work with all of these student athletes and beyond football. It's great to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be home.
All right, another great subject here for Beaver Sports Talk. I love this kid, and it's amazing what he went through from the beginning to the end and still going strong. That's this edition of the Beaver Sports Talk, Beaver Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha and a whole lot of other folks. See you next week, everybody.
So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon, for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.